Deputy Commissioner Morgan, ASAC Pierce has not joined us at this time, but if you want to proceed, I can go ahead and do roll call when you're ready.
Yeah, I'm good with that. It's 1:31, so I think we should go ahead and call the meeting to order and move forward.
Did somebody join on the phone, please?
Yeah, Jim Nickel from Motorola.
Okay, thank you. Because we're doing this all via teleconference today, I would request that everybody please mute your phone unless you're giving a briefing. So, as I said, on the phone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Mr. David Reed, Colonel Timothy Maxwell, Mr. Del Smith, Deputy Chief Michael Curl, Mr. John Rockwell, Deputy Commissioner Leon Morgan, Mr. Trigg Erickson, Ms. Naomi Ulrich, Mr. Scott Stormo, Mr. Jim Nickel, and I believe someone else joined.
Yeah, this is David Kiss.
I'm with Motorola.
I believe I heard David Gibbs.
That's correct. Thank you.
And I heard somebody from Motorola.
Hi, Sherry. This is Sean.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else who has joined on the phone whose name I have not called? This is Sherry. Who joined, please?
Hey, this is Adam.
Okay, thank you. And that completes the roll call.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. We're going to go ahead and move on to opening statements and other announcements. Colonel Maxwell, do you have any statements or announcements you'd like to begin with?
Yes. Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Leon. I just want to say thank you to everybody for the last 3 years. It's been outstanding. I had the fortune of working with three great Deputy Commissioners and really getting on a high note. And it's good to have Leon on board. I'd like to publicly thank Dell, John, Sherry, Adam, and Scott for making me welcome. And for the last 3 years, of course, this is going to be my last meeting. And it's with sadness that I'm leaving, but I'm getting ready to move on to my next assignment. My replacement is Colonel Matthew Davis. And hopefully he'll get here sometime in June. I'd be able to bring him by tutor, unless the hunker thing is still in place. But again, I just want to say thank you. I don't know if you're tracking General Busey, change commands on Monday, and ended on a high note with the state in funding. And about the meeting, General Busey had met with the governor, and it was just awesome. They worked it out. And that was the first time I've seen a general screen with his hands above his head. He was so happy. So I just want to thank everybody that was had a hand in that and way to leave on a high note. Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, Colonel, Leon, I'd just like to echo that. Thank you for the military support this last legislative session. Having been in, and we'll talk about it later, about the ALMR funding, but this was pretty tenuous, and it was General Bustier's meeting that pushed us over the top. I firmly believe that, so I sure appreciate you guys shouldering in on that and making it happen. Thank you.
Definitely my pleasure. And Tim, with all is well. Over.
All right. Special Agent Pierce, do you have anything?
Hey, Leon. No, I have nothing for nothing but the group. Thank you.
Deputy Chief Curl, anything from APD?
Nope, not at this time.
For the translucent glazing and that.
All right, thank you. Mr. Gibbs, I hear you on there, Dave. Anything from Fairbanks?
Not at this time, thank you.
Anybody else that I've missed or has something they want to open up with? All right, moving forward, let's go to number 3, approval of the previous minutes. I have done a review of the draft minutes from the January Executive Council. Those were attached, I believe, when Sherry sent those out last week and then before as well. I guess what I'm looking for, is there any motion to approve the council minutes as is and as presented?
Yes, it's Colonel Maxwell. I approve. I'll second that motion.
Okay. Anybody else? I hear one offering the motion. Does anybody else second it?
This is Adam. I second.
Okay. Thank you. So, second hearing, does anybody object to, I guess we'll just do it that way. Does anybody object to adopt the minutes as presented? All right. Hearing none, we'll go ahead and move to adopt the meeting minutes as presented from the January 16th Executive Council meeting minutes. All right, moving on to number four, Quantar replacement. Well, we touched on it. I think everybody knows. We touched on it with Colonel Maxwell at the beginning. We did. The state did get the money for the Quantar replacement. I don't know that we need to burn a bunch of time talking about the process to do that. But again, I just want to reiterate, having, you know, been in the, from the chief staff to the governor himself to the executive branch to the state of Alaska over and over and over again on this issue, it was really that lean in by General Bustier that put us over the top. And also I'd like to point out that all of the prior studies that we've done, I had a list going back to 2006, was very powerful. We went in to talk to legislators, we talked to our reps and our senators, especially as we're trying to fund it through the supplemental side. A lot of those questions came up, but there's a lot of information out there that just to combat it, and we did have an opportunity to explain it all, and it worked. And we're really glad it worked out the way it did. with that said, I have not seen it, although I have been told that attached to the funding for the new Quantar replacement is yet another legislative intent for yet another study of ALMR. So when I get further details on that, I'll certainly brief into it to the committee, to the user group. But until I actually see that specific legislative intent, we'll probably just table it. Anybody have anything about the Quantar replacement they'd like to bring up or discuss?
Yeah, I got a comment. This is Colonel Maxwell. I want to thank you, Commissioner Morgan, for helping me, because when I talked to the Chief of Staff at Alaska Day in Washington, D.C., he was already prepped with a lot of information. And so it was really easy for me and Tim Woodall to go and talk to the General with the backing we had. And we couldn't have done it without you guys. And I just want to, again, say thank you. That's over.
Yeah, it was a good team approach. Appreciate that. Anybody else on the Quantars? Okay, old business B on the SIGBI. I got to be honest, I really don't have anything on the SIGBI. With the other legislative priorities that we got sucked into this last session, the SIGBI just fell away. I think it's just to be quite frank, it's just you got to pick what we can focus our time on, and the SIGBI has fallen to the wayside. Anybody have any inputs or they want to talk about the SIGBI?
Now, this is David up in Fairbanks. Is there any thought about changing the appointees? Are they all still alive, quite frankly? Or do we, is there any discussion about reappointments? I think they time out over a period of time.
They do.
Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, Dave, that's a great question. And I'll go back and lean on John about, you know, when can we think we can put together a SIGBI and things like that. You're right. We have to look at the presiding members. That those have changed. You know, Jeff Tucker is retired as one example. He's not going to be involved anymore. So, you know, as I sit here today, I don't have a lot of guidance for how we're going to push this forward. But I just want to reiterate, it is, you know, it is something that is of importance. It is something that we need to focus on. We just got to regroup after the Quantar battle and sort of pick this as our next agenda.
item, I guess.
Thank you for that.
All right, C has long-term cost share solution. So, you know, piggybacking on D, I will just say that from the DPS, from the Department of Public Safety standpoint, you know, and this actually just comes up to, and this is the same thing I spoke about because it was asked about frequently in our legislative session from our representatives and senators, is the cost sharing, i.e. local governments paying into the ALMR to help support it. My response is this, and something I'll put to the good of the group, but without a SIGB that is representative of the locals that are using the system and the federal and state entities using it, we are not comfortable, DPS are not comfortable just devising some kind of pricing scheme. Because A, we're going to probably miss the mark, and B, we're going to probably make some people mad. And so if we really want to have a consortium and we really want to have, you know, phased in cost sharing, then it has to be something that comes from the SIGB. And that SIGB should most be codified in statute. That SIGB should have teeth. That SIGB should be fully representative of the body that it's supporting, not just DPS coming in and saying, hey, we think you all need to pay this. So that was the standard answer. That's my belief. I'd certainly say that to everybody in the group so that if anybody wants to, you know, challenge me on it, tell them I'm wrong. I'd love to hear some input. I hate just being an echo chamber to myself. So anybody have any input in that, I'd appreciate it, or chime in if you need to.
Well, this is hey,
Leon. This is Dell.
Go ahead, Dell. I can wait.
Okay. I just wanted to say one of the issues with cost share is we do calculations. I assume everybody knows on the calendar year, we calculated 2019, which will be used for cost share to be sent out for the July meetings or the July membership agreements. We calculate that essentially by hand. And one of the things that I think is absolutely imperative before you go too far down the road in cost share allocations to agencies, that we have a system that is absolutely got no cracks in it. I mean, Sherry does a great job of calculating the minutes, but it's a hand calculation. It's not something that we can go back and recreate constantly with an accounting kind of capability. So as we move toward cost share allocations to agencies, and since I have been doing this for 13 years or so, that there is a substantial amount of resistance at the local level, as we all know. But that needs to be one of the things that the SIGB works to make sure that we have if we're going to allocate costs.
Yeah, Dale, you're absolutely correct. You know, I almost look at it as there's two issues with cost sharing. One's the macro issue, and that is, should we even do it? And that's where I'm sort of stuck in right now is if we are, should we is a question we'd have to answer as a group. And then if we do, who makes those decisions? And so that's the push to the SIGB. So even if we get to that stage, we start looking at the micro issue of how are we going to objectively assess cost sharing. You're absolutely correct. We have to have it. But I just think it has to come from a consortium. It's not going to come from DPS. At least as long as I'm here, we're not going to just send out letters telling people what to pay. That's not a good recipe.
Well, if I might, one more time, DC, in the early stages of ALMR 07, 08, there was a annual meeting of all of the agencies that could come into Anchorage. And the administrator for the Department of Administration at that time said, everybody's going to pay. That was not well received. It was just sort of a blanket statement. Everybody's going to pay. So it has to be, as I think you point out, based upon that. So, rational calculation that somebody can look at what it actually costs to operate ALMR every year.
Right. From my perspective, from the trooper's perspective, we need it. It is our benefit to have locals on this system because it makes interoperability seamless. So we wouldn't want to support a structure that compartmentalizes us from that kind of perspective. So Yeah, we're with you, Bill, completely. Adam, did you have something on long-term costs?
From our side, I'm just kind of curious, is there a projected cost from the federal side of where we think that's going to go over the next 5 years? I know last year we upped a pretty substantial percentage from where we had been back in 17. Do we can see that continuing and that projection? Do we have any projection for the federal side?
Hey, this is Colonel Maxwell. A good question for Tim Woodall. I'm actually on another net trying to find where he's at. Tim Woodall, did you come online? Over? No, I guess he's not there. That's actually a good question. I can definitely ask, and we can get back with you. Over.
Okay, thank you for that. Specific to state and locals, I mean, certainly I know Dell has been doing this for many years, and I would assume this has been floated several times, as you mentioned, and not well received. So if we do end up going down this road, I think communication is the key of, you know, how that gets laid out in the years ahead and what it looks like. It's all going to be communication. So,
Leon, could absolutely. I follow up on that, please? Leon, could I follow up on that, please?
Absolutely, Del.
A couple of years ago, Adam is right, the discussion was had with federal agencies and some of them, including the Department of Justice agencies, which is the FBI and others, were looking for some kind of a five-year projection that they could logically do their budgets upon. That was developed and pushed, or the idea was developed and pushed up the chain within the Department of Administration. And to my knowledge, there was never any reaction one way or the other about it, so it fell by the wayside. Certainly, not only those agencies, I suspect, would like to have some idea of more than a year horizon every time. And that could be done based on some simple calculations that folks could agree to with some kind of small escalator in or potentially. But yeah, it could be done. It just was not received well within the agency that could have implemented it.
Let me be clear. I mean, I think all the Department of Justice entities are certainly on board continuing this. You know, it's merely a budgeting exercise for us. The value that ALMR provides for us is measurable. So there's no scenario where we're going anywhere else or doing our own system. It's just that, yeah, for budgeting purposes, if we can have something like that, that would be beneficial. That's all I have, Leon.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Anybody else have anything they want to just go ahead. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah, Leon, this is David. Yeah, I just want to say it's refreshing to hear you, your perspective on this issue. I think that's been a sort of an uphill battle for those of us representing local government. So I have nothing to add except to support both what you and Del have said. It needs to be a fairly rational and very systematic process before we talk about sort of this cost allocation issue. So happy to be part of that. So thank you.
Appreciate that, David. Yeah, we'd be leaning on you guys. It's I'm just for the good of the group, I just wanted you guys to understand what my message back to our legislature had been over the course of the session, is that we all need to work together and we all need to be on the system, and that is the priority. So anyway, that's what we're going to continue to do, and as we get our feet back on the ground after this COVID response and stuff, we'll start looking at some ways to implement that.
Thank you. I appreciate the perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anything else under long-term cost share solution for the good of the group? Okay, D, operations management office contract. At the January meeting, Scott talked about the RFP that's going out. Scott, Mr. Stromore, do you have any update on that?
The notice of intent to award has gone out. It's there were a couple proposals received, and Wassman was the one that was scored the highest. So we are entering into kind of a clarification discussion with them next week, just to refine an understanding of what their proposal exactly meant to compare to what we were asking. So just normal process for the contract to be awarded. We don't see any hiccups, I guess, in the near term going forward with that. The one thing I guess I will say that I don't think is going to be a problem, but I've not, with the new OMB approval process at the end of the year, I have submitted something up to Department Administration several weeks ago and have asked periodically, but have not heard that it has been approved by the Department Administration, nor if it's gone up to OMB to be approved by OMB. So until we actually receive that, the procurement folks will not be able to award a contract. So.
Okay. It is moving, though, in turn as fast as at the speed of the light speed of state government. It's moving.
I believe so. It probably wouldn't hurt if you asked a question of our commissioner's office on it, just to see if you can get an answer as to what's happening with that approval, maybe.
Yeah, we can certainly take that up. Any other? Well, that sounds like it's moving as normal. John Rockwell, do you got anything to add on that?
I do, sir. The intent is for us to overlap for 1 month. So our hope is to have the contract start the beginning of June. And so we have that 1 month overlap before the new contract or before the old contract sunsets. So we're looking forward to working with the new company or new individuals in that endeavor.
Okay. I will just, I'm sure we'll hear more about it then in the July meeting. All right, number five, John Rockwell, can you give us a update on the council position and then have Mr. Skinner talk about the IC zone changes?
Yes, sir. So as far as the vacant council position, we still have one vacant position. It's the alternate federal non-DOD or the BLM position. It's actually been vacant for 2 years. I don't believe we have any takers at this point. I'm thinking back to the last email I received. I don't have any additional information on that. I don't believe Mr. Skinner is online, Nate.
Yeah, I didn't hear him.
A little update on the IC zone changes. We have already developed many of the templates and prepared them for the actual radios. We've established a transition plan, which we've been able to forward out to many of the end users. We still have some issues with the consoles themselves. Dell has been working with the dispatch centers to start engaging them on what it means for them. And so I think for all on the call, we're moving forward with the streamlining of the changes itself. Along with that, anytime someone has radio programming, we're recommending that they try to limit the number of talk groups and channels that they program on the radio. So from my opinion, it's going real well. Thank you.
All right, thank you, John. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Rockwell?
Mr. Rockwell, this is Adam Pierce, the FBI. Had there been any follow-up with BLM? I thought they had agreed to sit on that vacant position going forward.
They have, sir, and nothing official, and I apologize for hesitating or stuttering here, because I thought I remembered. No, I don't have anything official at this point, sorry.
Not a problem. If there's anything that I can do to help move that along, let me know. I know I had a few phone calls with them, so if we need to get together offline to further discuss, if I can help anything, just let me know.
I do appreciate that. And it could be something that's just lost in the letters, regarding the COVID-19 issue. We're all working from home, or many of us working from home. I'm not receiving my traditional mail. Nor do I have someone that's at the office that is responding to some of the issues. So it could be that something's in my inbox, and I just don't know it yet.
Okay, no worries. Like I said, if there's anything I can do to push that down the road, just let me know. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you both. Do we have any other questions for Mr. Rockwell about the user council? Okay, hearing none, let's gonna go ahead and move on to the operations management office. Mr. Dale Smith.
Thank you, sir. USARAC battery plant rectifiers were rectified, as it were, but that cutover occurred February 3rd and there were no issues. However, on March 10th, the master site UPS bypass failed, which caused some consternation and issues. So that needs to be dealt with now that the rectifiers have been taken care of. It dropped the interzone link because of that, but Travis and his people in the system management office have added a circuit, so that would not happen if this thing fails again. But he advised me we're operating on AC power, which we shouldn't be in the long term. That needs to be addressed by DOD for that Birch Hill site. Or by USARAC, not DOD, to get that fixed, because the battery plant was replaced a number of years ago, and then the rectifiers went, as you all know, or were going. They got replaced. Probably they should have done everything again at once, but that's where we're at right at the moment. The battery plant and the UPS, the state of Alaska replaced their UPSs last year. I know that Mr. Stormo has provided USARAC folks with some information regarding what they installed at the master site at Tudor Road, suggesting that that would be a good thing for them to do using the same kind. But I don't have any current information about how USARAC is moving ahead with that. But it is a problem that needs to be resolved in fairly short time frames.
Hey, Dale, this is Colonel Maxwell.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to respond to that. Yeah, I can definitely take that for action. I can talk with the 59th and just see what the problem is. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I knew they fixed the rectifier. I didn't know if they had a battery problem over.
Yeah, the last time we had Mr. Williams on the user council meeting, I think he was trying to get something done, but I have not talked to him since the user council meeting, so I don't have an update, as I said.
Roger that. Thank you.
The 7.17 upgrade, far as we're concerned, is complete. There are still issues being worked out by the state of Alaska regarding that contract, which I am not in any position to address one way or the other. So I'll skip right over that. And the Zone 2 outage that occurred way back in October, Motorola Solutions, if I got this right, I know Naomi's on there again, can fill in anything I goof up here, explained the problem was the virtual management server, VMS, was unresponsive and stopped booting. This caused the zone controllers to come back up in a standby mode, and they required a second reboot, which I think our people went over there and accomplished. Motorola currently writing the code to correct this. The currently was, I received this information a few weeks ago, so it probably is well underway, if not complete. And the VMS issue was found to have a bad driver. At the last update, Motorola was testing the fix on their platform and would then get it out to the systems and put out the notice to people operating systems similar to ours. That's what I have. I don't know if Naomi or Jim want to chime in one way or the other about that.
This is Naomi. I don't have any additional updates beyond that. I know that we're still waiting for the update to come out.
Okay, so I wasn't totally out in left field then, right?
Not at all.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The DOD microwave hops, which we're monitoring, is the current understanding is the DOD is including these in the next system upgrade to redo their hops and upgrade their microwave system as the state is currently involved in doing with the state microwaves. console reboots, which was an issue the last time around. We talked, I think, in January. The out-of-compliance ones were rebooted as of February 20th, but I haven't received any complaints from the help desk, but I would imagine there are still some that each time this happens that need to be reminded to reboot, but I'm not been told that I should try to contact anybody and get them moving on it right now. Quarterly zone controller rollover was completed on February 18th and 19th. There were no issues. It went well. And speaking of quarterlies, we are scheduled to do one May 6th and 7th. We will do exactly what we've been doing in the past. I sent out a notice 2 days ago to all the agencies, giving them a heads up this was going to happen. I'll probably send another one next week and maybe one Monday before we start doing this. Travis and I will come in at 4 a.m. on that Wednesday and Thursday during those rollovers, contact the dispatch centers, and proceed. Harris was scheduled to do an acceptance test on their radios that has been delayed pending COVID-19 issues. They were scheduled to come up, and then we had to cancel because of the that came up. They'd have to spend 14 days in isolation before they could do anything, so that didn't make any sense. So that's put off until this clears up one way or the other. Ted Stevens, you guys are still out there, right?
We're here, Del.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I just wondered. It's real quiet. The RMF status of Mr. David Reed's online, but what I know is that due to the COVID-19 kinds of issues, it has not moved along. At this point in time, it's still being reviewed, and well, I'm sure it'll get accomplished when things get a little more settled here and people can come to their office and do other things. So, David, I don't think you need, if you want to make another comment, that's fine. I'll wait, but that I think that pretty covers it. It's awaiting the final review and approval.
That's all I had, Del.
Okay, thanks. Ted Stevens' site, I think you all know we turned it off for a 60-day test, turned off on February 3rd. I polled the agencies before we turned it off and even after we turned it off for a while to see if there was an impact. I did not receive any negative feedback. We have opted in conjunction with the state to leave it off at this point in time with the potential at some point, if it continues to be not an issue, it might be usable in another location or the equipment out of that site. But for right now, it sits there ready to be turned on instantly if we need it. Annual inventory confirmations. Notification letters were distributed between January 21 and 29. We've had 71 forms come in out of 131 or 130 agencies or so, so we're only about halfway there. Suspense is April 30th, 2 weeks from now. Sherry sends out a reminder every week, including one today. So I'll probably have to start calling agencies and trying to get them to get those in. Obviously, if there's issues because of what's going on and people operating from home, et cetera, all they have to do is tell us they've got an issue and ask for an extension. We will gladly give it to them. But I would think that February, March, and most of April should be sufficient. March system metrics, 1,040,225 in group calls, 1,887,740 push to talks, and that was down from February. 181 busies, which is the same amount as January, as a matter of fact, or excuse the same amount as February, 122 in January. So we're sort of flatlining through there. I looked at the busy report for last week. I think there were two busies in the entire system. So people are being awful quiet out there radio-wise right at the moment. And I don't have it on the agenda, DC, but we are not always informed, we being OMO, in a timely manner when something is removed that we would like to keep track of. And for that reason, in updating the CONOP, we did an audit of locations for motor bridge equipment and have determined that some has been removed without notifications to us over the quite a term, actually. So Sherry will be sending for each of the EC's member's signature. Unfortunately, the signature page for six change requests showing that the motor bridge devices have been removed from those locations. So we'll hurry to get the kernels to him before he can get away from us, but that'll be coming
we
in,
can just
to
copy
you
and
in
paste
a few.
It.
that'll be coming to you in a few days. And that's what I have, DC, unless you have some questions for me or somebody has some questions for me.
Yeah, I just have a comment about the I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Colonel Maxwell. I just wanted to let Dave Reed know on the RMF. Let me know what, you know, if there's issues, and I can definitely take care of it. Over.
No problem, sir. I've just been contacting Rainey to get the current status.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, does anybody else have any questions for Mr. Smith regarding the Section 6 Operations Management Office? All right, we'll keep moving to new business. So number 7, March 5th Lifecycle Management Discussion. Mr. Stormrow, can you update us on that?
I think many of you have been through these types of discussions, I think, over the years with the different vendors, and this particular case, Motorola, has tried to do again what they've done with us in the past, basing it around another meeting they were up for doing, Motorola Trunk User Group meeting with the more technical side of the user community, but they basically walked through just some of the lifecycle management stuff, again, explaining things that, you know, many of us know just with all the work we've been doing with the Quantars, but that doesn't work past 717, and kind of talking about the future of their 717, they're renaming that stuff to more of a calendar year name, so like 2019 .x, so maybe 1, 2, or 3, or ABC. Don't think there was anything really new that we hadn't heard before. It was just trying to be a chance to get some of the people that had not heard that on board, so they kind of understand what the SUA was about and why, what the advantages of having a SUA, which is essentially operationalizing your capital costs to do the upgrades to the main software on the system. So hopefully something we'll be able to get to here in the near future, so we don't have to rely on the heroics that it took to get a lot of money to do the lifecycle refreshes. So something we'll be continuing to work on.
All right, anybody have any questions for Scott regarding new business? Well, then moving on to next meeting, as we see, it's on July 16th, and it sort of brings up the most important topic of the day here, and that is when we do convene for our next meeting, and for the first time in 13 years, Dell Smith will not be in the meeting. And so I guess this is the epitome of saving the best for last, but when you know somebody as long as I think we all have known Dell, and speaking for me personally, he's not only been my mother's boss, but I consider him being my boss for several years, so you know he's been around a long time when he's influenced a lot of us, helped a lot of us, mentored a lot of us. The best way to say that he's just one of the best men I've been able to know professionally in my 23 years, and I'm just humbled to have known you, Dell, and worked with you. I owe you a lot, and I wish you the very best. And I'd open up to the floor for anybody else to have comments.
Here, here.
Yeah.
You're here. Hey, Dale, this is Colonel Maxwell. Again, I just want to thank you. I'm in the first couple of meetings. We were doing them monthly, and it was kind of hard for me to get in the groove, but you always got it, me and you know, whoever the commissioner was, and I just want to say thank you. I had a handshake for you, but I guess with the coronavirus is out. But hopefully I see you before I leave in July. I definitely want to do elbows and say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to echo what Commissioner Leon said. You've been awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Dale, this is Adam Pierce over the FBI. I'll echo everybody's comments. Thank you. I know that we may be the only folks more than the military that have had turnover in this position, so I know you've had to train up myself and many of my predecessors. So I appreciate your patience and working with us as we, try to keep this thing going from our side. So I just appreciate all your everything you've done for me and that have come before me. So thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Dale, Jim Nichol with Motorola. As another person that has been around since ALMR first started, myself, it's been fantastic to work with you. And I wish there wasn't this COVID thing so we could take you out for a huge steak dinner. Or we could celebrate another Seahawks Super Bowl together. So.
Yeah.
Go Seahawks.
Okay.
And thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, like everybody's talked about, this is pretty awkward, Del, to say goodbye to you over a phone.
Leon, I probably would at least stick my head in the meeting on anyway. So, if assuming we are allowed to meet again,
we didn't want to miss a chance to, you know, you never know. You're always allowed to stick your head in the meeting, of course.
No, I appreciate that, but that's my current plan anyway. Obviously, I can't go anywhere. So.
And I didn't know you're a Seahawks fan, so I'd like to take back everything I said.
Oh, well, there you go. But, I've been watching the Super Bowl over and over again. But, no, I'm kidding. I obviously have enjoyed the 13 years or so that I've been affiliated with ALMR in this regard. I've been involved with ALMR or its predecessor kind of discussions since 1996. So I do have a bit of history, and certainly with the whoever has a new contract, I would provide whatever I could in the way of information for them should they need it. So I look forward to hoping to see you guys in July. But thank you again for all your kind comments. I appreciate it.
Well, Dale, this is Trigg. We've been working together for well over 40 years now. And I've been to enough of your retirements to wonder if you don't have the kind of an addiction to retirement. So I'm not convinced that we're done. I hope that's the case.
Well, I will say that when I left APD in 1988, I quit on April Fool's Day, and nobody really believed that I was leaving. So
that's kind of a slow pitch, but we'll let it go by.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Well, Del, we'll see you in July then.
Okay.
So anyway, next meeting, July 16th at 1:30 p.m. Hopefully, for the good of the group, we're all going to be able to be back in person. It'll be over across the parking lot there at 5900 East Tudor Road. And with that, I'd like to entertain a motion for closing out our meeting.
Okay, this is Carol Maxwell. I second that motion.
All right, hearing anybody else second the motion? Adam?
Yeah, I think I heard him.
All right. Well, okay, I'll second it. Anyway, meeting adjourned, and we will all we'll see you guys very soon. Thank you for participating today in these kind of circumstances.
Thanks.